Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Father God, we do come right now asking you, Father, have thine own way, Father. Have thine own way in the Word, Father. Have thine own way in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And as a result of you speaking today, that we might be encouraged, Father.
Yes,
we're encouraged to walk in thy way, Father. That we might be encouraged to have peace.
Yes.
So, Father, we ask you to hide myself, all of us, behind the cross, that we may see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear, and that you may be a Holy Ghost filter, Father, that only your word will go out, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem.
Yes, God can.
We do believe that God can in a year that has been designated the year of God. And all throughout this year, we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit into which all of us should manifest being Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit-filled believers. And this month, we are looking at the attribute of peace. Did everyone get a copy of the newsletters? In this newsletter is an article from the Apologetics and Research Ministry. You can find them online. An article entitled, True Peace in Your Life. And I want to encourage you to read this article, and also if you were not here Wednesday, to go back and listen to the message on Wednesday night entitled The Peace of God, and you can go to our website and listen to that. But we have shared that this is a great and sovereign moment in the life of our church, because we need peace. We need peace. We need peace. And today we're going to share a message entitled, How to Develop Peace of Mind. How to Develop Peace of Mind. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. The preacher's going to preach about how to develop peace of mind. Amen. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, verse 27, 31, 33, and 34. And we want you to go and study the whole chapter as God lays it upon your heart. We want you to stand in reverence to the Word of God. We want you to stand symbolically saying that in this turbulent time, I will stand on the Word of God. Let's read this together on three. One, two, 3.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Don't not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You may be seated in the household of the Lord, and again, we're sharing a message entitled, How to Develop Peace of Mind. How to Develop Peace of Mind. And we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to talk about his reign. We're going to talk about his righteousness. And we're going to talk about his rations. And we want Christians to know that Christians should seek God's kingdom for peace of mind. Christians should seek God's kingdom for peace of mind. Now, I want you to know, too, also, we're beginning to publish these PowerPoints online, and you can go to our website and click the sermon tab, and you can click down each PowerPoint along with handouts or programs that specialize in each word. Amen? All right.
Amen. Some have called it the summer of death. The summer of death, as we continue to hear about and to commiserate over what's going on in our culture, in our society. Yesterday, many of you, like I, heard the news that great football player by the name of Steve McNair lost his life there in Nashville, Tennessee. Many of us are looking at the different documentaries and news stories about the loss of Michael Jackson. And many of us are saddened by the losses of Farrah Fawcett and Ed McMahon, and people continue to die within our own lives as we continue to pray for the Hoods family, and now we're praying for Sister Maple. We seem to be living in a terrible time of loss. And that's just counting the loss that we're going through. For many, not only dealing with the loss of loved ones, but they're dealing with how to make it in everyday life. Some have been laid off, and they don't know how their provisions are going to spread to where they can make it. Some are working, but yet the finances that they produce from their work is not adding up to enough to where they can provide for their whole family, and they're going through a time of crisis, a time of great loss. And I believe because of this time that God has sovereignly placed us in this month of peace. He placed us in this month of peace, and he tells us in the text that was read that we should not worry about what the pagans worry about. What is it that the pagans worry about? They worry about food. They worry about water. They worry about clothing. They worry about the necessities of this life. But Jesus tells us in the text that a Christian should not worry. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, if you know the Lord, you don't have a right to worry. If you know the Lord, you don't have the right to worry, and worry is the opposite of peace. Worry is the opposite of peace. And within this text, God challenges us and tells us how we can make it through this time. First of all, he talks about, oh, but seek first his kingdom. But seek first his kingdom, which puts us at point number one. He talks about, instead of worrying about the necessities in life, what we should do on every day when we wake up is to be concerned about the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. To be concerned about the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. To which we have to pose the question, preacher, what is the kingdom and what is it like? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. I think the best illustration of the kingdom of God is being part of an army. When you're part of, at least when you're part of Uncle Sam's army, once you join his army, they let you know pretty quickly that this army is not about you. And you have a drill sergeant screaming in your face after the recruiters was talking all nice in your face. And when you get to the base where training takes place, the drill sergeant will drill in your head that this army is not about you. Hello? And the kingdom of God is not about you. It's not about you. And not only that, in this kingdom, but in this kingdom of this army, you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear.
Right.
Okay? Because they're going to assign a uniform, and they give you that uniform to signify unity.
Yeah.
And that's why many of us are wearing our certain color dress and our certain color tie, except Brother Brian, is to signify unity. You see, when you're in the army of Uncle Sam, you don't have to worry about the clothes that you wear. It will be provided for you. Shoes will be provided for you. Oh, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. They will feed you. You don't have to worry about where you're going to stay, because when you sign up, Uncle Sam gives you a place to stay. And remember, it's not about you. That's the best way to describe the kingdom of God. It's God's agenda. This quote says, God is sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, and ruler over all his creation. However, the designation, the kingdom of God, encompasses the realm which is subject to God and will be for eternity. We seek first the kingdom of God. Be subject to God and his reign in your life. And it says that the rest of creation will be destroyed. Only that which is part of the kingdom of God will remain. Only that which is a part of the kingdom of God will remain. Don't you know you don't have the right to worry because Jesus Christ reigns over his creation? Oh, Jesus Christ governs the steps of your feet. He is ruler and he is Lord. And as a result, if you want peace of mind, remember that you are a part of God's kingdom. I've used this as an illustration many times before. It's when we went to war over in the Middle East, the American soldiers had a problem with the combined forces, because some of the combined forces would desert their post. Whereas the Americans, because they knew the Army of America, they would not abandon their post. They would not give up, because they knew that they were on the winning side. You want to develop peace of mind within this life, you have to know that this kingdom of God is the winning side. And as a result, my God can take care of my every need. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, God can take care of your every need. So if you want to develop peace of mind, you have to be concerned about his reign and seek first his kingdom. That's why when you get up in the morning, you have to, like in the army, you have to get your orders. Oh, there's no soldier that can survive in the army of the Lord unless they're AWOL without getting their orders. Each morning you seek God's kingdom by studying the orders of his word. Study this word and see what God wants of you today. Many times when you study the word of God, many times you'll come across that word that you needed to hear for such a time in your life. If you're concerned about paying the rent, many times you'll come across Matthew 6, which we're studying now. If you're concerned about food, you're concerned about clothes, many times you'll come across your orders. And God will tell you through his word that God has your back.
Right.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. God has your back. So develop peace. You need this peace of mind. And you need to know about his reign. But also, where many times where we trip up as Christians, you also not only have to know about his reign or his kingdom, but you also have to know about his righteousness. And if you want to develop peace of mind, you have to come to terms with his reign, and you have to come to terms with his righteousness. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? I'm glad you asked. You see, being a part of a kingdom or being a part of an army, there's certain character that is expected of you. You're not just meant to use your power, to destroy people. His reign or his righteousness has to do with what? Righteousness is the character or quality of being right or just, which was formerly spelled, I like this, right-wiseness. Right-wiseness, which clearly expressed its meaning.
All right, amen.
You see, when you seek his reign, his kingdom, you develop a right, wise kind of life, because you obey his orders.
All right.
And his orders will always lead you to a place of being right or of being just. And not only that, of combining with people who are right and just. You see, a single person just can't, a Christian just can't go out and marry just anybody, because God gives his divine orders and says, do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. So God has a right way for us to live as singles and to marry, and also a right way to be married. His orders tell the man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And if you want to be right, if you want to be living a wise life, Oh, you better obey and apply his orders in your marriage, because he says when you don't love your wife right, your prayers are closed up in the heavens. There's some honors that God has given this church. When somebody asks for forgiveness, it's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about my rightness. I have to obey God's orders and forgive those who even offended me. Oh, and live a right, wise life. Because if I don't forgive those who have offended me, that means God holds against me what I hold against my brother. And that means that I'm out of fellowship. That means that God won't hear my prayers because I'm not right, wise in my relationship with my brother. Somebody here, if you want to be righteous, you got to obey your orders in the Lord. Again, this kingdom is not about you. It's not about how you feel, because there are many people in the army who don't like the orders that they get, but they have to obey them anyway. Oh, somebody here, God has given you some orders, and you don't like it, and God is saying you're in danger of going AWOL. You're in danger of being out of fellowship with me, and when you're out of fellowship with me, you're not living a right, wise life. And Jesus, I say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, be right, be wise, in Jesus' name. Oh, we learned in Sunday school, Michael 6:8 tells us to walk what? Justly. To walk justly before the Lord. His righteousness. Again, it's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's not about what I'm supposed to wear. I have a uniform. And that is the character of Christ. That's my uniform. That's what makes me right. And that's what makes me just. And that's what this table is about this morning. Before we can eat or drink, we must examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves and confess our sins unto the Lord. We have to be right and wise with this table, because if we're not right and wise with this table, somebody will walk up out of here sick. Oh, for the Bible says that some are sick and some are even asleep when they don't approach this table in a right, wise way. Again, this table is not about me. It's about Christ and his kingdom. It's what we do to remind ourselves that this world is not my home. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, be right and be wise in Jesus' name. See, but you have peace of mind because you're not holding anything against somebody. I can remember the greatest predator in my life was my stepdad. He did so much stuff I don't even want to talk about no more. But I had to forgive him of everything that he did to me. And on the day that he died, he did not take no part of me with him to the grave.
All right.
That's what forgiveness, unforgiveness is like. It's like carrying around with you a dead body on your back, and it begins to decay within your life. And eventually, if you carry a dead body long enough, death will take over you, and you will die. And that's the dangers of unforgiveness, the dangers of not seeking his righteousness. And you won't have peace of mind. I work with singles. Many times, single folk get burnt in relationships. And the guy that burnt them is off living their lives, and they're surprised that they're still living. And many times they're being blessed. They went off and quit the girl or the boy and married the next person. Spent big money, have a big wedding. They're at home simmering, angry and mad. And they're not even thinking of anything. And they done went on with their lives. But you hold it. And it caused you to be miserable. It caused you to not have peace of mind. And when God is ready to send the next person, you're so mad at the other person that you treat the one God sent you like the other person. Because you have unforgiveness in your heart. Many people have had to say, hey, honey, I'm not him. I didn't do you wrong.
All right.
I'm not her. I didn't do you wrong. Hello. That's why we have to have his righteousness. It protects us even from ourselves. And again, it's not about you. And if you want to have peace of mind, you must be about your Father's business. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I must be about my Father's business. And when you get his reign right, and when you get his righteousness right, then you get his ration. You hear me say, every Sunday, if you give and try God in this area of your giving, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. Oh, that's righteousness before God in your giving. And many people are living an unblessed life because they're not being righteous in the place of their money. And the Bible talks more about money than what? Than what? Than almost anything else. Because it's an indication of your righteousness. Where your money is where your treasures will be. And many times again, we live our lives like this place is our home. But we have to leave that stuff all behind. Oh, come here, Michael Jackson. Say he was worth $500 million. And they say now he's about $200 million. Whatever it is, he had to leave it all behind. Had to leave it all behind. And again, for the Christian, this world is not my home. I'm a part of a kingdom. I'm a part of God's army. His reign, his righteousness. And once I get that right, I get his rations. I get his rations. For it says, but seek ye first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. These things, what things? What he was talking about earlier in the text, what we read about. Food. Hello? We all need food, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Clothing. We all need clothing. Drink. We need shelter. I like this translation to say, all these things will be given to you as well, because it says that God knows that you are in need of these things. Need of these things. Every need. If you're part of the kingdom of God, God says that he will take care of you. Every need. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, do you have a need? God says every need. Every need. And sometimes if you're truly obedient, you'll get a lot of stuff that you even don't want. You'll be so blessed. You'll be so blessed. Because God can use his sovereignty. Right. You hear sovereignty described as a nation, a government. He has a government assigned to you, a government of angels that will go before you and order your steps in his word and in his way. Oh, if you don't believe me, come here, Joseph. Joseph's life seemed like a life of disarray. His father treated him as the promised child, but his brothers hated him. Oh, they put him in a pit, and they said that he was dead. Oh, that seemed so random. His brothers tried or was going to kill him and put him in a pit, but yet they sold him into slavery. Oh, that seemed so random for him to be led off to a place called Egypt. That seemed so random. That seemed so random that he would end up in Potiphar's house. Oh, that seemed so random. That seemed so random that he would be, oh, convicted, really not convicted, but accused of sexual harassment and be thrown into the prison. That seemed so random. Oh, it seemed so random that he was there for 2 years before he met two people that would play a role in his life, and he would interpret their dreams. Oh, and one would die. That seemed so random. And the one that could have said something about Joseph, oh, forgot all about him. That seemed so random. But God had ordered his steps. His sovereignty has gone before him. And before you know it, there was a problem in the kingdom that only Joseph could solve. And God would take him out of that random prison and put him in a palace with purpose and have, be second in charge of the kingdom. Oh, it seemed so random, but God's sovereignty went before him. Some of you right now are living and it seems so random. You're losing your loved ones. You're losing your idols. Oh, it seems like that things are not going to work out for you. Some of you may have to lose some things before it's all over with. And it may seem like that things are not working out for you, but God can use his sovereignty and work all things together for his good and turn that thing that the devil meant for bad and use it for God's good. Yeah. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has rations for me. Not only does he have his sovereignty, but his what? He's omnipotent. What does that mean, preacher? I'm glad you asked. That means what? He's all powerful. Oh, I don't know about you, but it's good for me to be a part of a kingdom that has power. It's good for me to be a part of somebody that loves me so much that his power will go before me and make the rough places smooth, will shatter the doors of bronze, will cut through the iron bars, will give me treasures hidden in secret places because I call him by name. That's the omnipotence of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God is all powerful and he can take care of your every need. He can give you peace of mind. He can give you peace of mind. Not only is he sovereign, not only is he omnipotent, all powerful, but he is omni what? Omniscient, which means what? All knowing. All-knowing. Some people are surprised about some of the things that I know, and I don't even have to talk to you personally and know some stuff. There was a king who had a problem with the people of God, and they said, why can't we conquer this people? And they said that there was a prophet that God is telling everything that you're planning to do. That's what that means. He knows all things. And the good thing about that is he knows about those offenses. He knows about every secret thing that you're hiding in your heart. He knows about that child abuse that happened in the middle of the night. He knows about what you did when you was drunk and lost your mind. You don't even know. But he knows. And because he knows everything, that means that Even before I say a word, he knows what I'm in need of. He knows what I'm in need of even when I can't say a word. Sometimes you go through some problems, especially when you're dealing with loss and family. There's times where you can't say a word. All you can do is just cry. And God interprets your moans and groans before the heavens because of this all-knowing. And he uses that to ration your life. Oh, and like soldiers, many times you can't go eat in the middle of the battle in the cafeteria. Sometimes, you have to survive off of those little things called rations. Oh, rations are what you have to survive off of in the middle of the battle. The things that you have to eat that you wouldn't normally eat. And if somebody here, you're going through a ration time in your life. But God has sent me here today to let you know that you're not going to always going to be eating rations. In the middle of the battle, there's going to be a time when you can go back to that cafeteria and ask what you want and ask for what you need. And maybe it's not the cafeteria here called First. Maybe it's not Golden Corral, but there's a cafeteria in the kingdom of heaven. And interestingly enough, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is the same thing. And if you're a part of the kingdom of heaven, that means that there's going to be one day where there's no more crying, one day where there's no more dying, one day where there's no more tears, one day where there's no more fears, one day where there's no more loss, one day. And but you have to make sure that you're part of God's kingdom. You have to make sure you're part of the kingdom of heaven. And God sent his son named Jesus, for he so loved the world that whosoever give their life to him, oh, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life in this kingdom of heaven. And that if you're here today and you haven't enlisted in God's kingdom and he doesn't reign over your life and you don't have his righteousness, then maybe you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Maybe you need to know about the gospel story that Jesus was sent on this earth to die for our sins. He lived here and he died here for our sins. Oh, and he was dead for our sins. He stayed dead for 3 days, but the Bible says that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. And when he got up with all power in his hands, oh, he was ready to bring about his kingdom. And if you're here today, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you join his kingdom today. Give God a hand clap of praise. Join his kingdom today. Develop his righteousness. Because a Christian is not a Christian without righteousness. The old folk used to say, if it what, walks like a duck, quack like a duck, then what? It's a duck. And many times we have people who say that they are Christians, but they're quacking like the pagans in this text. If you do not have the righteousness of God, you're not a part of his reign. And you will not have his rations. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, if you're here today and you don't remember a time where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to accept him today. If you're here today and you have not been baptized, the first step of obedience, you can be baptized. If you're here today and you're having problems with his orders, required of us to forgive. We don't have to be concerned about whether the person is sincere or not. We as a church, we want to have peace of mind. Some of you haven't had peace of mind all week because of what happened last Sunday. His orders are that you forgive, and if you can't forgive, maybe you need to come forward and ask the men of God to pray that God will enable you to forgive. If you are here today and you are a man of God and you are having trouble in that area, maybe you come forth and say, pray for me. Somebody else today, maybe you don't have a church home. You see, it's utterly impossible for you to live a righteous life away from the church of God. And you say, preacher, I don't need the church. I used to think that way too. But I didn't really, really begin to grow until I became a part of a local body. And I was at being able to be held accountable and come under the word of God. And God's orders for every Christian is that they be a part of the household.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. And if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up and the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello again. This praise is Pastor Mike Weed Tom, Lord. The senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.